Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 278, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. Our co-host today is laughing at the fact that I just screamed that in my father-in-law study.
Just imagine them being like, well, Jack's gone in to do his thing, suddenly from behind a wood paneling door.
You in a little closet. This is a podcast where we do important things, Dad, like take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's actually APA is what I call it. It's Thursday, March 9th, 2023. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I love it when you call my legs plumpers. Call my wife, while talking state strife. I love it when you call my legs plumpers. Get that TikTok out of my face and please don't shoot up the place. Why? Because the American people don't have any healthcare. Healthcare. That is courtesy of Lockeroni in the Discord, doing the Lord's work, just churning them out day after day. And they, my father-in-law did hear me just singing that. I was very impressed. I could tell by the way he rolled his eyes and just slammed the door. Anyways,
he's there now.
He's a lovely man. I'm just joking. I'm thrilled to be joined by today's guest co-host, a hilarious comedian, writer, director, viral sensation. In honor of International Women's Day, she's going to be eating peanut butter pretzels all episode. It's Sara June!
What up? Sara June, a.k.a. Sara Sebsi, a.k.a.
Yeah, that's right. It's what you
all
deserve.
All episodes, and you can't say anything because it's International Women's Day.
It's International Women's Day.
That's right. And if you say something about the way that I talk and my upspeak, you're sexist.
You're so fucking sexist.
You're so fucking sexist. And I'm going to report you to the International Women's Council.
Yes.
And they're going to beat your
ass.
Is
it cool that I refer to it as International Ladies Day? Is that cool?
That's right? Cool.
Good.
It is funny that, like, in America, it's kind of a joke, but in the rest of the world, it's a legitimate holiday.
Yeah, of course.
We're like, it's Celery Month. It's International Women's Day. But, like, my cousin, like, sincerely wished me a happy International Women's Day. And I was like, thank you so much, man.
That's awesome. Well, we are thrilled to be joined once again by a writer who's one of the best podcast hosts, executive producers out here doing it. You know him from Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, Ridiculous History, the new podcast, Let's Start a Coup. Please welcome Ben Bowen!
Holy smokes! I should have brought snacks. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, Jack, for having me back on. You know, every time that I'm lucky enough to drop by this show, I always say, thank goodness. you all have such terrible taste in friends. I don't know. Am I at the point where I can write my own AKAs, or you got some?
Yeah, man.
You got some locked and loaded?
You're supposed to.
Yeah. You're at that point the second you come on the show. Yeah.
I forget every fucking time. Every time I come to the show, Jack and Miles have some crazy AKAs. But by the way, at this point, they outsource them. People on Twitter and the Reddit and the Discord are doing all this. But that's the thing is you got to get on like a week ahead and be like, Zeit fam, I need AKAs, please, please. And then they'll send you references to songs you've never heard.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay, then I am in full disclosure, not freestyling these. I did think about some of these. So if they're bad, they're my fault. Some of them I used in the past. Benny Both Hands, Matt, a.k.a. Max Powers, astronaut with a secret, a.k.a. Dr. Awkward. That's a palindrome. And a.k.a. Mr. Redacted, if those work.
Damn. We'll allow them. Yes.
Oh, thanks.
I like Mr. Redacted. That's mysterious.
Yeah, that's dope.
And it'll come into play later. Sorry. I'll ask you all some questions.
Oh shit. I don't know whose podcast you think you're on. If you think it's your podcast, but you're on the Daily Zeitgeist and it's International Women's Day. So I'd ask you to.
I'll pump some brakes.
Restrain
Jack
yourself,
podcasting
sir.
From not his house. This is my house.
This is my house. Yeah, exactly.
This is my house, Dad.
All right. We are going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, Ben. First, we're going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. There's such a thing as a customer rage index, and we are going to check in with it. The Wall Street Journal wrote an article that was like, American consumers are mad, more angry, like more complainy than they've ever been, and it's costing companies money. But I think there were interesting things between the lines in this article that, of course, the Wall Street Journal left unsaid. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Joe Rogan's new anti-woke comedy club.
Which one, Jack?
What?
He just opened a new one. And people are like snapping up to in Austin, of course. He's trying to like make Austin a comedy city, like a cultural mecca. And it's like that Austin is a cool city with lots of, you know, cool comedians and cool culture. And the fact that like we're now going to be like Joe Rogan, it's the Roganessence, folks. He did it for all of us is depressing. But anyways, we'll talk about it because opening night had Roseanne Barr there. I think we all saw highlights of her comedy special on Fox News.
Is she wearing the denim 24/7 now?
I don't know, but she's
I hope so.
Her pronouns are kiss my ass.
And highlights a very diplomatic choice of words.
I'm sorry, Jack. You mean kiss pronouns are kiss my ass.
Kiss pronouns. Yes.
Please respect her fucking pronouns.
It's truly the fact that that joke is still being used by somebody unironically is amazing. And
be careful with that joke. It's an antique. And so on.
Yeah, that's right. Sunny D is back now with vodka. So we'll talk about Sunny D. We'll talk about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Some of these things we might talk about, but plenty more. First, Ben, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Oh, okay. Here it comes. We set it up with the AKA. So we'll get to that in a sec. But first, did you all know that there can be houses considered legally haunted?
I didn't know that. That seems...
Who decides that?
In this case,
sorry, what I meant was who books that?
Because you got some stuff to bring up. Nyack, New York, which sounds like
I believe it's Nyack.
Nyack. Well,
jeez,
I'm not going to go.
All right. Now. Should we take this from the top?
Women's Day.
And if it's not, that's how we're pronouncing it today. Okay, Ben?
All right. Got it. There's a house there called the Ackley House, and the New York Supreme Court State of Appeals, First Division, which would be in Manhattan, legally ruled that this house was haunted because somebody bought the house, and it's a very like pricey, like pinkies up Victorian uptown New York house. And the person who sold it apparently didn't do a good enough job telling the people who bought it that the house was haunted. And so they went to court, And it's a whole hullabaloo. You can learn all
Town
about it.
Town never knew such a hullabaloo. To
Hell never knew such a hullabaloo. Jack. Yes, Jack. And so so it was very interesting to find this. The
hullabaloo.
There it is. Yep.
I think we just end the podcast
and
right
that's
now.
Why it's Women's Day.
There it is.
And there is a show I do called Ridiculous History has an episode that probably like just came out as we're all hearing this in Zeitgang, which is guest hosted by some female and female identifying co-host. Because we do respect International Women's Day.
Okay.
So if you, the plot thickens. So
methinks an ally I doth spot.
Look.
Sorry, I'll stop. I'm sorry.
Wait, this was amazing. International Women's Day on the 8th, right? So we're doing this all the day after. We're recording it on International Women's Day.
I guess the question is, Jack, how much do you respect women?
Yeah.
Only for 24 hours. That's Jack, 24 hours worth per year. Of perspective. I was just our trending yesterday was hosted by super producers Anna Hosnier and Becca Ramos. So we got in there as well.
Last thing, do check that episode out. Michael Alder June and Lauren Vogelbaum go into the nitty gritty of this, and it's a really interesting story. But for you all, Sarah, Jack, you got to know, I just found out, the U.S. Witness Protection Program lets you choose your own name. Like when you're starting life over, they're going to go, what's your vibe?
Right.
What's your vibe check on that?
I like that.
There has to be some editorial control. Because
the vanity license plate where you can't name yourself like Mr. Dick and Balls or whatever.
Right, right. Because they also are trying to help you not draw attention to yourself.
Right. They recommend the guy who started or played a big role in starting witness protection with Robert Kennedy, Gerald Shrum, he wanted to give people some pointers. And so due to say, usually we ask people to choose something that starts with the same first letter and then, you know, something you can remember easily. Because if you go out and you're like, hey, I'm Max Powers, astronaut with a secret, they'll be like, first off, that's not a name. That's like a weird, that's your weird comedy bit. So they will advise you, and I'm sure they have veto power, but for everybody looking to burn down your old life, if the heat got too close, you can choose your own name.
I don't know if that's what witness protection is
for. I don't think it's like a opt-in program where you just get to... By the way, you know what else allows you to pick your own name?
What's that?
Reality. You can just if you want to deal with the bureaucratic bullshit of changing your name, or just not, or just move to a new city and start telling everybody that your name is Max Powers, astronaut with a secret. You know, they won't like you, but they will probably call you that because they don't know anything else to call you.
I just changed my stage name. I've been going by Sarah June for a while, and now I'm Sarah Sebzi. And you know, I think it's annoying when people change their names a lot, but also, who's going to stop me?
Yeah,
you know,
who's gonna stop me by not knowing that and calling you Sarah June when I introduced you?
That's fine because it's a I'm not like it's not a dead name, you know.
Okay,
But I also I really appreciate all of the trans and non-binary people in my life who have changed their names and made it very cool and normal for me to do so.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very nice of them.
So some of my friends were telling me, they were like, we're doing this for Sarah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
We could do it all.
Yeah.
Wait, and back to the Legally Haunted, who...
Yeah, is the ghost just, on the witness stand?
Like, is the logic on that based just that people can perceive something as haunted and therefore, like, affects the value in a real way? Or were they like, ghosts are real and legally we recognize them?
Well, they got out a Ouija board at the New York State Supreme Court of Appeals.
Yeah,
and they said, oh shit, these things work? Fuck! Yeah. No, they said that they counted it under a material devaluation of the home. So
sure.
Like,
okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Not quite.
But how did they, what was the evidence for it being material?
So the homeowner, Helen Ackley, wrote an article in Reader's Digest in the 70s, where she talked in very flowery language about how delightful it was that her home was super haunted. And then the people who bought the house went back and said, hey, this is kind of fucked up, because now if we have to sell this house we spend a lot of money on, then what are we going to do when people ask us about ghosts? As the guest host Michael Alder June and Lauren Vogelbaum put it so beautifully in that episode of Ridiculous History, these folks didn't believe in ghosts, but they believed in the market. Mm. So, you know,
so it's truly Reader's Digest that is to blame.
Yes.
I mean, number one arch villain of American literature, right?
100%.
They're just abridging shit left and right for decades, you know?
Publishing jokes for the elderly.
I know. Oh, is man. Big Digest going to get us? Is this the one that sinks us?
I used to read the Reader's Digest, like, humor in uniform section or whatever, because we had them laying around, and I was just that there weren't many like humor magazines laying around, and that explains every bad joke.
Jack, everyone knows you read.
I did think Reader's Digest was like when I was like, you know, 9 years old, I was like, Reader's Digest. I thought it was like the New Yorker.
I hear the subscription comes with a monocle, you know.
It does explain both your humor and your uniform.
Thank you. What is something, Ben, that you think is overrated?
All right. Now, not everyone's going to agree. And Jack, you know that you and Miles both know, I typically don't like saying things are overrated. Everybody's got their own experiences. Mm-hmm. Big concerts, you know, I mean, Ticketmaster is a pain in the keister anyway. Thank you. Right. Sorry.
I'm agreeing. I'm silently agreeing with Ben.
Oh, don't be silent.
I'm raising my voice. No longer. Defense.
Don't be silent anymore. Sorry. It's your day.
Right. Silence is violence.
So big concerts, you know, everybody was excited to get back to them after a shutdown in the U.S. occurred. And I went to one. I'm not going to say which one, but I was like, okay, first off, fucking Ticketmaster. And then secondly, there are lines everywhere. Every imaginable drink is way more expensive than it should be. And then you get in and there's this massive press of people. And if you're in a paranoid position like I usually am, you're thinking, where are the exits? What if this goes wrong? These thousand or several hundreds of people are very excited, usually, to hear maybe 3-4 songs. And then it's just a bad look. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm getting old. I don't know. It's just, what do you guys think? Are big concerts overrated?
And plus, your peepers can't see the damn artists on stage. Sorry. No, it's not. I don't know. I find concerts to be things that I don't look forward to, and always like what they do to the like artists' work, like after I've seen them, is usually worth it to me. Like I really like, for whatever reason, like just seeing someone perform live makes me really appreciate their work a lot more. And
I love that part. Sure.
Creates some value for me. But yeah, I mean, I'm also not like, I haven't been to a big concert in many years. So
I don't know if I've ever been to what qualifies as a big concert, like in an amphitheater or something, you know? Mm-hmm.
Right.
But as a person with crowd anxiety, I am extremely on your side, Ben. I don't like, it hasn't always been that way. It started, you know, I used to be able to go to big music festivals outside and not have a problem. And then I kept going to them. And then I started feeling really crazy and being like, I need to leave, you know?
It's so many people. It's just so many people.
Since COVID, it has not improved. My cat is really upset that I'm not paying attention to her, so she just knocked something on my desk.
I was gonna, what's your cat's name?
Myla.
Shout out Myla.
Shout out Myla, International Women's Day Queen.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I can't do that anymore. And I always kind of thought sometimes they see video, you know, people go see Beyonce or whatever and got those like nosebleed seats. And, you know, there's big screens that show you the artist. But I'm like, you might as well just be watching a video of this concert, right?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's not thank for me. You. I was back.
But the fun part, part of that is that you're watching the screen and then taking a video of the screen. So you're watching the screen through your screen. So there's like four levels of things happening, but you are in the same physical space. So there's
It reminds me of like one time I went to go see this rapper and I was trying to, I had a, like a disposable like flash camera. And so I raised it up to try and take a picture of the rapper on stage. And what I ended up with, because of the strength, you know, the limited strength of the flash, was a picture of a bunch of people raising their cell phones. You can't see what's going on stage at all. But
the only accurate picture of a concert truly ever taken.
That's how they know you were really there. Right?
Yeah.
So exactly. Like the thing that I will just say, there's a brief backstory here in Atlanta, Georgia, an up and coming musician named Taylor Swift had a concert. And I don't know if you all have heard of this person, but I see big things for them in the future. And everyone in the places I would go to walking around my usual sketchy reprobate cruise, they were all very excited. And then we're all like, oh, Ben, we're going to this Taylor Swift concert. And I would say, well, you're like the 40th person I know who is going now. And you might want to hurry up. Yeah. I like, I think there's going to be a line, dude. Yeah. And it just soured me. You know, no disrespect to the artists, because touring is one of the primary ways they make their money now that so many big studios or production companies have become poisonous. Yield my time.
But when somebody does a residency in Las Vegas, I think that's the only way to truly see someone, because then the crowd is thin enough, because everybody is they're doing the same show day after day. They have it down by heart. You're getting to see a robotic version of them. I don't know. This is all to say, I really want to see Katy Perry in Las Vegas. I've just come to that conclusion in the last 24 hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm going Carrot Top, but you know what? Let's meet up for dinner.
Okay. I'm in. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll hear you're underrated and get into some news.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back. And Ben Bolin, what is something you think is underrated?
Might burn some bridges here. Not everybody agrees. Polyphasic sleep. It's where you sleep instead, like the typical person sleeps somewhere between 6 to 10 hours a day, I think, globally. I've always hated sleep. I find it presumptuous. When I was, can't remember what talked about this, I was, circumstances found me on the other side of the Pacific recording still on US East Coast time. And so I couldn't sleep in like a typical 8 hour chunk. And I went back to an old sleep experiment I did where polyphasic sleep is you break up, you find whatever your average sleep for 24 hours is, and you break it up across those 24 hours. And I dig it, man. You know, every culture that has a siesta is fucking right. Yeah. You know, they figured it out.
I'm on board with siesta, 100%.
Yeah.
I'm on board with siesta as long as I get my 10 hours the night before. 10 hours
you're doing. 10 and hours, then, this guy.
Yeah, and then just like tack on an extra 2-3 in the afternoon.
That's me. Yeah, I'm a sleephead. I'm a sleepy head. I love sleeping. To me, it's the best.
I like woke up from like, I was very tired, hadn't gotten my full 13 hours the night before. And
I like how it keeps increasing. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, on a good day. And so, you know, that night I like just probably fell asleep like within 20 seconds of like laying down in bed. And then like something woke me up like a couple minutes later. And you really realize like, that there is like some powerful drugs being dumped into your body by your body. Like when you fall asleep, it is like, it's no, like just like the shit that was happening in my mind when I just got like rocketed out of sleep, like is pretty crazy. Like sleep is the best.
But as soon as you get that notification on your phone that there's a new Reader's Digest out.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you're like 10 toes down. You're up.
Thank you. Gotta see what is the what's the other humor section is like that there's humor in uniform and then like something some other shit
there's anyway. Some like homespun wisdom predecessor
. Oh yeah, the axioms section.
That's right, very Marxist publication. Digest.
It is known.
All right, let's talk about the opposite of Marxism. The Wall Street Journal had this article that Americans are encountering more problems with companies' products and services than ever before, and a higher proportion of them are actively seeking, quote, revenge for their troubles, a new study has found, which is intense. So
what do they mean by revenge?
I think it's like writing nasty comments, like sending letters, you know, reaching out to the company and
snitching demanding. To the Better Business Bureau.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Just any sort of follow up action that's taken. Yes.
Okay.
But the revenge is definitely what drew my attention. But it's also, I don't know. So it's up. So some
74%, she wants revenge is getting back together, but they're called Customers Want Revenge.
Yes. 74% of the 1,000 customers surveyed said they had experienced service problems in the last year, which is up 66% from 2020. And, you know, more and more of them are seeking this vengeance, you know, a Kill Bill style revenge saga against Southwest Airlines or, you know.
Training in kung fu.
That is the picture they used, was a, you know, some Southwest Airlines consumer facing person at an airport looking like they were 12 hours away from all of their hair falling out from just having to deal with just horrific toxicity.
Well, shit, I wonder why.
Right. Yeah,
exactly.
I hope nobody is actually yelling at the people who are working because they're not in charge of the fuckery. You know what I mean? Like every time you have a problem at the counter of some place, yelling at that person is not going to get back to the person who is responsible. You know,
exactly.
I don't know. I think it's very convenient for corporations to do that.
Exactly.
There's like my immediate thought is, of course, this has to do with all the supply line bullshit. Where like I know somebody who got their catalytic converter stolen off their car, needs a new catalytic converter. And so they're having a problem where all of the mechanics are like, we don't have any and we don't know when we're going to get any.
Yeah.
So we don't know when we can fix your car. And so it's not a customer complaint towards the mechanic. The mechanic has nothing to do with it, but there's definitely customer dissatisfaction. So, you know, if you were to survey and be like, do you have problems being a consumer? We'd be like, yeah. But yeah, it doesn't have to, it's not because the service is bad. It's because the shit's not there.
Yes. And the, I mean, also, I think the service is bad in a lot of these cases, like with the airlines or, you know, even with car companies, like the car companies used to, like prior to the pandemic, were like more, it was like more of a buyer's market. And now it's more of a fuck you, this is what we have market. And
or they're understaffed.
Yes, because they're wildly fucking understaffed. Everybody is so completely understaffed. Like the Southwest Airlines thing is like all of the benefits of this current system fall to like the C-suite and the people who are making decisions like at the higher levels in the companies, who are the only thing they have to pay attention to in order to do their job and to feel like they're successful at the job is like how Wall Street, like Wall Street is the only incentive that they have to care about. And then all of the customer facing employees and the customer, the consumers themselves are just like fighting a war between each other and just like becoming more and more miserable. And like, this isn't, I think this is invisible. Like this is the sort of thing that we just kind of, it's like a, this is water type thing. It's like the weather is getting slowly worse, but we're not noticing it because we're just living in it day to day. But you know, all of these consumer indices are, have gotten like way, way worse since they started tracking them in like the 1970s. They just get worse and worse and worse because everything has gotten less and less and less regulated. And the only thing that these companies have to pay any attention to is their stock prices. So they cut employees. They, you know, they just do these things that make it impossible for the people at the lowest levels who are dealing with the consumers and make the consumers' experience worse. And of course, none of this is mentioned in the Wall Street Journal article. The only the only way that it registers to them is they're like, you know, they, every time an angry consumer contacts a company, that company's losing money. And that's one way to view it. But
is
of
it?
Course, yeah.
I don't think that even makes sense. Just
well, because
you call
it's wasting
company...
their time. So you have to like spend resources on dealing with it, and also probably is like bad marketing. So like,
I guess, but if you deal with it well, then the customer will come back. And so then are you making money?
But you have to pay money to deal with it well. Like that's the damned thing about this market. Like the if you're going to let the free market run your country, you have to acknowledge that this essentially means your country doesn't work. Like this system.
Tell
of,
me more, Jack.
Yeah, like it. Well, like they're just they feel like oh, that's wasted time and wasted money, like spent dealing with angry customers. And if we all just agree to treat customers like shit, then like they don't really have another option.
Well, this also kind of feels like one of those things where it's like, you know, that the fallacy that like the rate of left-handedness went up after left-handedness stopped being categorized as like a medical deficiency and started being categorized as just an alternate way of fucking writing.
Yes.
And so then the rate went up because people weren't being forced to write with their non-dominant hand anymore. And this feels like that, where it's like, you know, now that we have the internet and Yelp and every company has to have a website and a Twitter and an Instagram, there are so many more ways for angry customers to tell you how angry they are. So it's, I don't know if they're angrier or if they just have easier access to you to tell you that they're upset. Because it used to be when you were mad at an airline that you could basically go fuck yourself, but now you can tweet at them and they have to pay attention.
Right. Yeah. But I mean, they've been investing in like cute social media, like Southwest Airlines is like, Mondays, am I right? And then like, so they have like somebody who they, you know, pay a lot of money to like give their corporate brand a fucking like lovable personality.
Right.
And at the same time, like satisfaction with Southwest Airlines couldn't be lower because that's like they don't fucking need to care about the consumer because that is how the system is set up. It's just allowing them to focus on creating shareholder value.
Yeah, okay, this is something I want to go back to here. So the American Customer Satisfaction Index, in my experience on a couple of different projects, innocuous names are sort of a flag, and I want to figure, like, is it crooked? That's my question. Is it like the American Consumer Satisfaction Index brought to you by Raytheon or whatever? You know, like,
right.
Yeah.
Like, is this, I mean, it's very easy through any number of proxies and platforms to make something like that that appears to be a nonprofit. And the people working there, the people doing that research, may actually not know the ultimate arbiters of it. You know, like, what is... Also, I don't trust the Wall Street Journal. I'm sorry.
No, I don't either. But it's just funny to see how they... I think they're taking a real, like, signal that they're getting that the consumer experience across all these different things is getting worse. And they're just treating it as, like, a symptom that, like, corporate CEOs need to pay attention to, like, when crunching the numbers on their spreadsheets, as opposed to, like, a very real, like, broad scale problem that is happening in the country, where, like, they just, like, don't have to give a shit about, like, you know, the consumers of their products or the people who work for them at the lower level. And they keep firing people because it's, like, fashionable to do so. And so it's just this world that is being run by people who, like, have absolutely no connection to what our lived experiences are like out in the world interacting with their products.
Unless to Sarah's point, unless they see the tweet, unless they see one of those other platforms, or, like, it's probably not them who has TikTok. It might be one of their kids, and their kid is running up and telling the parent, "Ooh, there's something bad," you know, like the president of Norfolk Southern lives here in Atlanta. And, you know, before the heat hit, maybe one of that guy's kids came up and said, "Oh my God, Dad, that looks like people aren't super happy with everything." And he's like, "Well, tell me more about this social media," you know, Monty Burns hands and whatnot. I mean, I think it's a beautiful point that, first off, there's some nomenclature too to unpack. Calling people customers or consumers is a little tricky because it makes them sound like they're not people.
Humans.
Yeah, right. Sure. So it does, though, even if with the problems that you've pointed out here, it does still feel like things are on the rise, but there's a dangerous disconnect in trying to attribute the reasons for that. Like, you made the great point about understaffing. People aren't like, of course there's a longer line. I was in Amsterdam a while back, and I, like, got to the airport early to get a plane out because I knew, you know, there were pending strikes. There were also very few people working at the airport. And when people are in a terrible situation, airports are often a terrible situation in general, they were not thinking of looking at the systemic causes. There are people, you know, with a family, and they're trying to get their family to the fucking other airport where they've got the layover because nobody can afford a direct flight from places, you know, and they want someone to blame. And so a lot of people on the front lines of any customer service thing, they're having to be the scapegoats for the people at the top. And I think it's just gross, you know, like, I don't know.
And then those people are being, like, forced to work, like, the understaffing leads to people who are, you know, being forced to work with the threat of, like, not having health care or being able to feed their family. And then, like, like the Wall Street Journal will publish an article being like, why are Americans so unhappy? Is it their phones? Is it because they have the language to describe unhappiness now that they're going to therapy? And it's like, no, motherfucker. You have like a brutal, like, yeah, that's a thing.
That Americans are discovering rage.
Right. They know, like, they have the language to address it now. And so they are therefore, like, aware of their unhappiness, and they're like, what is happening here, guys? Like, how has it gotten worse since the 70s? And it's because the companies
it's therapy. No, you're right, Jack. It's mental health. It's been a scam the whole time. All it does is make people unsatisfied and make women unsatisfied with home life.
But that is like a legitimate thesis that is getting spread around out there instead of, no, the overall economic conditions are worse because you have just allowed Wall Street to run the entire country, and that is what happens. Like, the market doesn't functionally work, doesn't create a functioning society. It creates this.
I'm telling you, the problem with hen houses is the doors are too small, says the fox. You know what I mean? Like, like, hey, there's an older excellent speech about that, but this idea is kind of nuts too, because we have to realize that there are plenty of like younger generations. If I were a parent right now, I would be a little concerned, which I know sounds very Fox News, but I'm going somewhere good with it. If I was a parent right now, I would be concerned about a kid who one day probably will get a job at some point and has to deal with this. Like, how understaffed can a place be? How long can a line get? Who can afford these things? Like, if you are working at a call center, right? In many cases, your job is to get yelled at for like 8 hours, not counting your mandatory overtime. Yeah. And is that like when your kid tells you about their dream job, when they're like, oh, I want to be, you know, whatever, the first werewolf astronaut on the moon. And then you say, well, you could also.
We've already had many werewolf astronauts on the moon.
Yes.
You're a Comcast fit, I think. You should be on the front lines of the Comcast phones or Xfinity or whatever they're calling them.
Truly. Yeah. Yeah. I am a parent. It's a nightmare scenario.
Com Warner.
They will all be one company, and they're most, because I mean, that's the thing, is that like we read about, like, there are these characters who like get turned into the main characters of the news, and they're all the CEOs. They're like the Elon Musks and like the, you know, the people that the Wall Street Journal like give names and faces to. But the vast majority of the country is the people who are on just like eating shit every day because of the decisions made by those people. And then the only way that shit eating registers is in like these vague fucking like surveys where they're like, consumers indicate that they're like less satisfied and more likely to just quote go fucking berserk as a result of the bad, you know. And it's just
were so hard for the peasants, why do they have so much time to raise so much rabble about this?
Exactly.
Rouse, damn it, whatever, leave it.
And that's the truth, is that we don't have enough time to raise the rabble because we're being worked like end to end. And like, that's the thing that I think we saw in 2020 when things like slowed down and everyone like looked around and was like, fuck all of this. And then the economy opened back up. And again, people don't have enough time to raise rabble as they do in at least other countries around the globe. Anyways, true nightmare shit from the Wall Street Journal. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back to talk about Sunny D with vodka.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
And we're back, and so is Sunny D.
What?
So, you know, this is good news for people who like to get drunk at breakfast or after soccer practice with their friends. There's a new Sunny D vodka seltzer hitting store shelves this weekend, which I think is to compete with the Purple Stuff vodka seltzer.
Real up and comer, yeah.
Yeah, but so apparently this has been a thing for a while that like just... in the streets, but like the market research must have captured the Sunny D market research. There must be like some sort of toxic chemical, like byproduct of making Monsanto like off, or, you know, like, well, you know, so, some sort of extremely lucrative product like creates something, because they've just been trying to find ways to offload Sunny D. Like, they just won't stop. They're like, we got to get rid of this Sunny D. They made a Great Lakes worth of Sunny D in the 80s and haven't been, and are just like trying to find ways to sell it ever since. Mm-hmm. But yeah, apparently people have been like, there are a lot of people being like, I've been mixing Sunny D and liquor since the late 2000s. I want to welcome everyone to this fiasco, which I don't know. I can't think of a worse mixer, because like, that much sugar is just going to make you so hungover, isn't it?
Yeah, I know everything has a seltzer iteration now, right? At some point, it seems logical, but what if not ethical? But Sunny D. So there was somebody drinking a screwdriver at some point, and they said, "You know what really make this fucking pop?" I see the eyebrows flick up, right? Like, mm-hmm. You would really, really do this. Guys, we're wasting our time drinking purple drink. Let's get back to the basics. You know what I mean? Let's get some vodka in our Sunny D, and, you know, let's introduce our kids to daytime alcoholism.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Love it.
Yeah. So Sunny
good.
D.
Okay, it's greenlit now. Yep. Yeah.
So Sunny D has been a garbage product from the beginning. It's
whoa. Excuse me?
Whoa.
So no, it tastes like pre-vomit.
It does. It's so it was a big hit in the night. It really tastes like that shit that I don't know if you guys are old enough to remember what like the school lunches like juice boxes that would come or like, but it was it was like orange drink.
Yeah,
I think it was like the same thing, which again,
orange juice and you boiled it and then left it in like a metal tank for 5 weeks and then you put it in little cartons for children.
And you can't call it's to the point where you can't legally call it
orange juice. That's orange drink. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so sweet that it like it's spicy somehow. Like it makes the back of your throat hurt a little bit. Like
it's because it's incredibly acidic, but they also add a lot of sugar, so you can't really taste it until it's in the back of your throat.
And it's like too late.
Sunny D was originally marketed in the 90s as like the healthier option to soft drinks. it contained 4 to 5% juice, which, by the way, the fall off of juice, like, I thought juice was the healthiest shit when I was a kid. And now,
it's because they told us it was healthy. Yeah, they were like, it's like eating a piece of fruit. It's not.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But so Sunny D wasn't even, they couldn't even be bothered to put more than 4% juice in their product. And it's 95% just watery corn syrup and a sweetener that is carcinogenic and not allowed to be sold in many countries around.
Yeah, most of Europe, most of the EU is like, all right, well, what
the
fuck
are you
guys doing?
Because it was a wild sensation over there. So they introduced it. It became like skyrocketed to being one of the top like 12, 13 like grocery store items that people were buying in grocery stores. Like just the year it was introduced, suddenly they were just consuming it like it was a fucking staple good, like it was rice or something. Oof. And people were drinking it so much that one 4-year-old girl was drinking a liter and a half a day, and it turned her skin yellow. And everyone was like, oh, this is an urban legend. And this is just like one of those things where an urban legend like hurts the marketing of a product, except it totally did turn a girl's skin yellow due to the drink's beta carotene. So everybody reads that story as, yeah, but if you drank that much carrot juice or you drank that much orange juice, you would also have your skin turn yellow, ignoring the fact that nobody would drink that much orange or carrot juice because it doesn't have like addictive chemical. It wasn't like engineered in a lab to be addictive, like to 4-year-olds, you sick fucks. But yeah, it's so it is interesting that like one of the least problematic components of the drink is what scared people off. But yeah, I don't know. It just feels like we're on a real 90s nostalgia kick.
Yeah, in the worst way. You know what I mean? Like the 90s, the 1990s and the 1890s, 1790s, not great. Objectively. So what's next? Because we saw this, we saw the Hi-C Ecto Cooler.
Yeah.
Right. That had its moment in the Sunny D, whatever, keep it.
Yeah.
And then we see it. We see a lot of this stuff coming back. I think gummy based school treats made a brief comeback, right? So I'm starting to think we can get ahead of this if we want to be unethical and lean in. Zeitgang, what's the crazy 90s stuff that you would bring back but worse, right?
Yeah.
What's stuff from your childhood that you wish also had vodka?
I think it's also just a good metaphor for where we are as, you know, a society run by corporations. So like, you know, the market is the society, and the corporations have seemingly like given up on, you know, like they were like, so that there was an attempt in 2003 to like bring back Sunny D, but be like, it's actually more healthy than it was before. And think of this as, you know, water with vitamins in it. And now they're just like, I don't know, fuck it, just pour vodka in there.
They keep trying to bring it back. You're right.
Yeah. Dude,
there must be like, okay, so you're picturing like a Land O'Lakes size surplus of Sunny D. There are a bunch of really powerful corporate types. Like, we got to push this Sunny D on the kids. Yeah. What if there's, I'm picturing like Indiana Jones at the very end of whichever one that was in the franchise, where they have the huge warehouse with all the dusty crates, but instead of like secret Nazi Raiders. Artifacts.
Yeah.
Okay. It was Raiders. Yeah. So instead of all the secret Nazi artifacts, they've got Sunny D.
Yeah.
And somebody's like, one day history will remember and we'll have our revenge. So they went health juice, then they went vodka. What's next? Like, what's the next iteration for Sunny D?
Actually, if you pour it in your windshield wiper fluid, it actually makes a great, it gums up your windshield, but it like makes things look kind of cool, kind of stained glass smeary, which is fun. Yeah.
Like Coca-Cola was like, are we the healthiest drink? No, but we can clean the shit out of pennies, right?
We can clean a fatal car accident off of the highway. That's our thing. But yeah, I mean, this seems to go along with you know, the gambling being legal and everything. It was just the fuck it, mask off, hyper-capitalism that we're all living through. So, I don't know. Are you guys in? I guess that was the first question I should
absolutely
ask. Yeah. Okay.
Definitely. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there was never a question, right? Like, I think all of us are in.
Usually the seltzers don't say that they're vodka, though, because that, like, limits where you can sell them. Usually they're like a malt seltzer beverage of some sort. But this one, they're just like, yeah, man, we just dumped some vodka in it because that's what we do here at Sunny D headquarters. We're just kind of waiting out the end of the collapse of Western civilization over here. So I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully, you know, Sunny D is our national drink again.
Does it still have the vitamin C?
Oh, are you kidding me? It has 100% of the vitamin C you need on a daily basis.
So it's healthy.
Holy shit. Yeah.
So it's healthy.
We were wrong. We started off on the wrong foot here, you know?
Yes. So another way that 90s, 80s nostalgia is rearing its head is one that I'm actually kind of into, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutant Mayhem. They dropped the trailer for the new, like, Seth Rogen produced reboot of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles universe. Like, Michael Bay, I think, had this for a little while and, like, made the most recent Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies, and this seems to have more in common with, like, Spider-Verse than anything. Like, there's just, like, a lot of cool animation kind of mixing together. The trailer is fun. Of course, it immediately became the subject of Fox News opinion pieces where they're like, April O'Neil is black, and, you know, racist people who can accept giant reptiles that do martial arts, but not a black TV news reporter.
Well, it's just unrealistic, Jack.
Yeah.
It just doesn't reflect the reality of our society in which news reporters are redheads.
That's right.
Right. Who never wash their clothes or change, apparently.
Yeah. One costume. Yeah. All news reporters are redheaded Megan Foxes.
I mean, let me ask you something, Jack. When's the last time you saw a white character in anything? Can't remember, can you? Well,
no. Wow.
Little white children are growing up not thinking they'll grow up to be black. Is that what you want?
Is that the future you want to get day drunk Sunny D with?
My child came home crying because somebody told them that they were white.
The original April O'Neil, by the way, from the comics, was intended to be mixed race. Kevin Eastman based it on his wife at the time, who was named April, who was mixed race. And then the comic books, when they, like, released the... Because they were originally, like, black and white comics. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then when they released the color versions, they had, you know, whitewashed it into a Caucasian woman.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
They did.
So,
justice for April.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they, like, when the Ninja Turtles first came out, like, the right was, like, super pissed off because they're just generally mad, and so anything that, like, comes across, they're going to be mad at. But they're, in particular, they were like, the secret, so they got turned into turtles by toxic waste, environmentalist dogma, nice try. So they thought they were, the, I'll read a quote from a 1991 syndicated column from Stephen Chapman. The muscle-bound little reptiles, I regret to inform you, have a political agenda, which is the same color as their shells, green.
Oh, no, we got them. Open and shut case right there.
The muscle-bound little reptiles also feels, like, horny to me.
It's definitely horny.
Yeah.
I think there's a, like anything, there's a little bit of a personal backstory, I think. But this was before the takeover of big therapy ruined everybody, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I loved Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because I didn't really think, I think, like a lot of people, you don't really think about it, you know?
Yeah.
As kids, we all love unreasonable stuff phrased in a confident way. Some people don't grow out of that, and they're called conservatives. But if you look at the argument here, it's a really cool, not preachy thing about some guy sort of pulling this Mad Lib game out. He's like, okay, turtles, that's an animal. All right, teenage, that's a blah, blah, blah. Mutants, too. You know what else is fucking cool? Ninjas. Do I know much about them? No. And you can tell by the way that the turtle, you know, you can tell by their martial arts style. I'm probably talking too much about the turtles. Yeah. But so, like, okay, so this is animated. This is all, is this like, okay, the main thing people are objecting to is that April O'Neil is portrayed closer to the original version of April that existed in the comics. And we haven't had people come out objecting about the toxic waste thing yet, but I didn't even know that was an issue.
There were also, like everything in the early 90s, there was also a, like, people were just discovering such thing as the environment. And so, you know, the Captain Planet of it all, like, I think there were some episodes that had plots that portrayed corporations like disposing of radioactive waste irresponsibly, you know, shit that actually happens.
Isn't that how they became mutant turtles?
Yeah, that's how they became mutant turtles. And then
that's
they had
the secret of the ooze.
Yeah. And then they like fought people who like did irresponsible things with like farm, like agricultural dump. Like, it's all shit that's like ripped from the headlines, but they were just like, well, that's not okay because you're not allowed to criticize corporations. Also, there was a UK panic over martial arts themed, like anything that was had the word ninja attached to it in the early 90s in the UK, like the media was panicking about. And like the Daily Mail published a story of a 4-year-old who nearly bled to death after karate kicking a glass door as he mimicked his television heroes in the Ninja Turtles cartoon cult.
Quote.
Yeah. I have to say, if you have been around children, I understand this point of view. I understand this point of view of, please don't teach children about martial arts without actually teaching them about martial arts.
Sure.
You know, because like, if you take a kid to a karate class, they learn a lot of stuff about where you should and shouldn't do karate. But man, kids that watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they're chopping. They're chopping everything. Mm-hmm.
But they're chopping everything even before they have seen Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Kids are smart.
That's true.
They're going to figure out the concept of nunchucks.
Yeah, you know what and I they're mean? Gonna. Yeah, they know how to pick up a big stick and spin it around a lot.
Yeah,
and nobody's. Yeah, that's the idea. I think like that kid was going to kick some shit anyway, you know, and maybe it got tagged to something. Yeah. But also, there's no objection here about the weird Asian caricatures, like Shredder, if I recall, the main nemesis of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, his big power is that he's an evil Asian guy.
Yeah. And I think that just generally there's probably like, this is sublimating some like racist parent energy about like having to work alongside and see Asian American people or like, you know, Asian people for the first time in the UK and like blaming them for shit that their children are doing. Like, I'm sure there's some of that there was like just a wild ninja moral panic in the early 90s.
Dumbass kid wouldn't have done anything wrong. If you didn't know about those ninjas.
Those damn ninjas.
Wow.
But like, I don't know. I wanted to jump through a glass door since before my brain started making memories. Like, my first memory exists in a brain that wants to jump through a glass door. Like, just because that's cool as fuck. Like, another part of the moral panic was they were like, children are playing in the sewers now because of the Ninja Turtles. I played in the sewers when I was a kid,
cool.
But it was because I wanted to imitate, like, I wasn't into the Ninja Turtles. I was into Pennywise. I was into the Goonies. I thought like the Goonies were cool and they crawled around in the turtles, but nobody cared about that.
Well, the sewers are like a secret passage through the world.
Fucking rules.
If you don't know about toxic waste, or if you don't know about dangerous things and hygiene, then that seems kind of dope, you know?
Yeah.
I'm becoming an exploring the sewers apologist. My bad, guys.
Yeah, it's probably not good for kids, but I did it and it was super fun and mysterious down there. Highly recommend. My 11-year-old self highly recommends it. My, 11's probably a little old. I was probably more like 9 or 10. But
how did you even get down there?
There was like a creek that ran by my house that just like went into
a tunnel.
Like cement tunnel that went under the street, but then it like branched off into a bunch of sewers under the street.
Why was the sewer accessible?
I think it was mainly like storm drains. But it was because I lived in Dayton, Ohio, and that was what they just,
famous. They're famous for their sewer accessibility, right?
You'd think that there would be like some bars up, and there were in many of them. I checked out many underground creek and storm drain, and most of them had bars, but the one by my house was just an open passage into the underground.
Bring back open storm drains.
Yes.
This is why kids don't play outside anymore.
Yeah. Were you not exploring storm drains and open sewers as a kid?
No, I was not. I mean, I'm so surprised as to how you even got in there, because all of the storm drains that I can remember were like in a creek bed, and the creek bed was like, well, you couldn't access the creek. It was like the LA River. It was like lined with concrete.
Yeah. And I think I remember like in Chinatown, there's a like storm drain thing, but I think it has bars over it. Right.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. But is that why you're so good at karate now?
It is. I just gained the power of ninjutsu from being in the underground,
which is why you're not allowed around glass doors in the studio, man.
That's right.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah. So wise policy. Ben Bolin, pleasure having you as always. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Pleasure to be back as always. Thank you for having such weird taste in friends. I can be found in a burst of creativity calling myself at Ben Bolin on Instagram, at Ben Bolin HSW on Twitter. I do a couple shows. You can hear Miles and Jack on a show I do called Ridiculous History. Please check out our episodes on weird historical flexes. You can also find me on a show called Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, which is about, it's what it sounds like. And then I have to hold up this book. We made a book. There it is. This is an audio podcast. Why am I holding this up? Anyway, we made a book.
The book has a UFO on it. It is red and black. It looks really cool.
Thank you. And you can also, most importantly, check me out on a new show that I've been doing, a limited series about a guy named Smedley Butler, a really problematic son of a bitch who at one point in time was all that stood between the United States of America and a couple of very, very wealthy banking forces who almost overthrew the government and got away with it, or got away with trying to, and they're around today. It's called Let's Start a Coup, available wherever you find your favorite shows.
There you go. And is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Yes, there is. you all probably already know about this. It's from New York Times Science. They reported something that's kind of heartwarming. Some researchers in Germany found this bacteria that is amazing at combating fungi, whatever your preference is. And they loved it. And they also loved John Wick. So they named this new bacterial compound after Keanu Reeves. He is quoted in the tweet as saying, "Thanks, scientist people."
Scientist people. Yeah. One of our greats. An American treasure.
Thank you for humanizing scientists.
Yes.
Thanks, Keanu.
Sara, where can people find you? And is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Sara to Bother You. You can find me online at sarahjune.online. That might change soon. But Work of Media, I've been enjoying. I'm going to recommend this book that I just read for my fellow Iranian Americans called The Limits of Whiteness. It is by an author called Neda Makbuleh, and it was extremely cathartic for me to read. I highly recommend it to anyone else who is confused about whether or not they are legally classified as white.
Amazing. A tweet I've been enjoying, Colin Crawford tweeted, "What if Shakespeare was named Cremo and we all had to talk about the great works of Cremo all the time?" You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Super producer Justin, is there a song that you think people might enjoy?
Yeah, Jack, you were speaking before about how sleep is a powerful drug, and I think this song captures that feeling, and it also happens to be made by a very smart and highly educated woman, huh, ladies? Yeah.
Ladies!
But this song is actually from a former climate scientist and researcher who's now signed to Flying Lotus's Brain Feeder Records. And this song is short but super sweet, and it sounds like floating away in a dreamscape. So this song is called Cosmic Dawn /8th Dimension by Salami Rose Joe Lewis, and you can find that song in the footnotes.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.